Okay, did anybody see the Ramban on this again? The Ramban, no, the Ramban. In other words, let's just clarify something. Factually speaking, if you hire somebody to move 100 barrels for 100 brutas, right? So is that really true? If the guy quits, you don't have to pay him anything? If he quits halfway, you don't have to pay him anything? No, not really. Not necessarily true. So let's take a quick look at some of the halachas, okay? Just how this stuff really works. Do you see the... Because, like for instance, you sort of get the sense that things are not as simple as they appear as you read more and more in the Rishonim. So, for instance, if you take a look at the Ran, right? On the sugi you're doing. So the Ran says... Aval omer lo haver li meya chavios meya prutos kaven de kama de lo avrinu lekulu lo yoev le midi kule agrashayachbe. Right? Yeah. So since he won't pay you unless you move everything, that sounds serious, right? Not going to give you a penny unless you move everything. So then everything is shayach to all the payments, is the full payment is shayach to that chavos. So then the problem is that what? Wow, that what? See, like they sort of, the Rishonim sort of give you different implications at different points, right? You're sort of like going back and forth between different implications. If you read it straight the first way, it sounds like all the schar is shayach to that one pruta, to that one chavis. But then what's the question of throwing one pruta out? It's not like there's one pruta that's the problem. It sounds like everything is the problem, right? So what's the question? Why can't you just throw one out? You just told me all of them are shayach to that one barrel. So all the prutas are a problem. So what does it even mean to ask, throw one out? Right? So maybe you say, okay, that's what he's answering here. Yesh lomar lo dami de'ilu ba'hi de'rebi li'ezer chavis de'isur lo garma ha'nos chavis shalatera. Right? So that's sort of is what his answer is. But still it's funny to even ask the question. Right? But what's his answer? He says, no. Of course, over there by Rebbe Eliezer. Is everybody clear on that case? That's just a stam case. We have a barrel mixed in with your other barrels. Right? So Rebbe Eliezer holds, you can throw out the damim of that one barrel and get hana from all the barrels. Right? You can't drink the yayin, of course. It's not going to make it mutter b'shisiyah. But the problem is, the case is a guy's got 100 barrels of yayin, and one of them he knows is yayin esach. Right? One of them he knows is yayin esach. Now he doesn't want to drink it, but he wants to be able to give it to his workers. He wants to get a hana for it. He wants to use it for barter, whatever it is, right? So as it is, he can't, yayin esach is asa b'hana. And there's a tarovas, so he can't use any of the barrels because they're all mixed up with yayin esach. But Rabbi Eliezer holds, he can throw out the hana, he can throw out the value of that barrel and then use all the barrels to let his workers drink from, let his goyish workers drink from. Because basically he's not being nene from the barrel because he threw out the corresponding value. You know what I mean?
Is that work by because now I lost something?
That's correct.
Kind of like an accounting?
Exactly. Sort of like an accounting. Like he hasn't been benefited by the yayin esach because he threw out the value that of that barrel. So now he can be nene from all 100 barrels. Why? Because he's really only getting 99 barrels worth of hana. Because he sort of flushed down the toilet one barrel's the hana of one barrel. Chaim doesn't like that.
What makes you say you can do something separate from a barrel?
So that's what the Chachamim. So the Chachamim argue on Rabbi Eliezer. They say there's no pidyon by Avodah Zarah. But that's another sugya. We have to start somewhere. So we're just gonna have to take that Shita as a given right now. Okay, so that's what the Ravid asks, and says, okay, so let's look at it, like, let's look at where we stand. Where do we stand here? We've got 100 prutas, right? Got 100 prutas. One of them came because of moving a barrel of Yayin Nesach, right? So the Ravid says, why isn't that just like the guy who has 100 barrels and one of them is Yayin Nesach, right? The pruta is, each pruta is connected each barrel, right? So how come when you have the barrels themselves, you're allowed to throw the Demei Yayin Nesach in the Yam HaMelach and use and be nene from them all? So why can't I throw away the value of one pruta and use the rest for buying stuff? Right? By the way, someone should explore the bottom of the Yam HaMelach. It must be fill stuff, right? Okay. So so that's the question, right? That's the question. So the Ron says there's no comparison, right? The Ron says there's no comparison. Why? Because what? So he says, no, because over there you just had one barrel of Yayin Nesach mixed in with all the other barrels. But over here, the one barrel of Yayin Nesach, right, the Isser, really caused the Hanah for all the other 99 prutas. Because, now why does he say that? But how is that true? He says, the Ilu Bahid Rabbi Eliezer Chavis de Isura lo garma Hanas Chavis Shel Heter. Of al hacha, efshar da chavis the yisur garma kol haschar. Now all of a sudden he's backing off, right? Now he's sort of slowly backing up. He barges in and says in the beginning that this guy's not going to give you a penny unless you move all of them, right? So all the schar is really for each barrel, like the Ramban says. Ramban says it's like all the schar is for each barrel, right? But now he has this question, and he says, well, why don't we really treat them like a pruta for, like each pruta is, the way he starts out, it makes it sound like all the prutas are awesome. Then all of a sudden he gets this question and says, why can't you throw one out? Which seems like a nonsensical question based on what he just said, right? But in his answer, he sort of is loosening up. Right, sort of backing down from this strong sounding statement that they're all intrinsically usher. Now it's sort of like, well, it could be that you only got the 99 because of the one. It's possible that you only got the 99 because of the one. Why? She'ilu lo rotza lahavir lo chava shel iser shema lo hayasochro klal. Maybe he never would have hired you if you would have told him in the beginning that I don't want to move 99 barrels, right? V'chein das haRambam. And the Ramban also has it. He says, maybe the guy wouldn't pay you, right? Maybe the guy wouldn't pay you. But what? But that raises the question. I mean, halachically speaking, what is the din when you get paid to move 100 barrels and you quit in the middle? What is the din? Right. Okay. So let's follow through before we go to the Shulchan Aruch. So how is his answer basically trying to work things out? Basically trying to say that it's not like equally coexisting. It's not like the Isser and the Heter are equally coexisting, side by side. If that were the case, then he would agree you can just chuck one out, right? The problem is that how did you get the 99 good prutas? They were caused by moving the Yayin Nesach. Because if you wouldn't have moved the Yayin Nesach, he never would have hired you for anything. Right? So it does sort of sound like he's going back. It does sound like he's just returning to his original idea that all of the prutas are usher because they came by way of the chavis of Yayin Nesach. Right? It does sound like he's sticking with it. It sounds like he maybe had a second thought about it, but then now it's not a problem. It really is all back to being one big bunch of Isser, right? One lot of Isser. But then things get really shaken up. So the Rashba, the Rashba basically takes this approach, right? He quotes the Ravid and the Ramban, which is the answer that that the Ran just gave. You can't compare it to Rabbi Eliezer's case, because over here, the Yayin Nesach caused all the schar, right? The Yayin Nesach caused all the schar. Right, he says again. He says, "V'hiksha alav haRamban demasnisin v'adei halachi." Yeah, v'lo domidul the Rabbi Eliezer d'ha'cha. D'ha'cha lo matzi l'holach schar achas mehen liyam melach. Here you can't throw one away. D'kulei agar akol chad v'chad yovle. Everything is for each barrel. So basically, means to say all hundred prutas are from the Yayin Nesach. So there's nothing to throw away. You have to throw it all away. D'ha'kablanasu d'kibul alav holachas meyach avios. So I don't know why. Once he has to give two reasons, it's already funny, right? One, first of all, it's a kablonus, and second of all, maybe the guy wouldn't have hired you at all. Hilkach kulei schar yayin nesachu v'aser. So what does it mean? Kulei schar yayin nesachu v'aser means all of it is us is schar yayin nesach. I mean, that's basically what it means. What it says. What it means. So now the Rashba raises a powerful question. He says, "Ula didi kashali, kevon de kaimalon di yeshna leschirus mitchila viad sof." That's even by kablonis. Let's just think about kablonis. Okay, he's saying it's not so simple the way the Ramban is saying it. The Ramban is setting it up in like some idealized way that I get hired to pay to move 100 barrels, right? So my task is to move 100 barrels. When am I zocha to any of the money?
When all of them move.
When the last barrel is moved, then I am zocha to 100 prutas. Since I'm not zocha to any of the money until the Yayin Nesach has been moved, now you can set up this equation that all of the schar is toloi on the Yayin Nesach. Right? It's a beautiful idea. Right? Problem is, it's not really true. That's the problem with the Rashba saying that's not what we hold. That's called ein l'schiras ela b'sof. That means to say that the worker is not earning anything until he hands in the finished product.
That's all or nothing.
It's an all or nothing deal.
Brera.
Okay. What's that?
Brera,
right. He's not earning anything until the last thing is done. Okay. But that's not what we hold. L'halacha. We hold what? Yeshna l'schiris mitchili v'atzof. We hold that as the guy is moving each barrel, he's banking money. He's banking debt. Okay? As he moves each barrel, he's earning a pruta keneged this barrel. And when he goes at the end of the day, he's collecting on all of the debts that he worked up from the beginning. How do we know that we hold this way? How do we know we hold this way? So it's brought up down in two contexts. the Rashba quotes from earlier on Yud Tes Amud Beis. Okay, take a look at Yud Tes Amud Beis. Very interesting case, Yud Tes Amud Beis. A Jew gets hired to build an idol. To build an avodas kochavim, okay. Now, what's the din? So it really is the avodas kochavim shel ovid kochavim, okay. And when is an avodas kochavim shel ovid kochavim aser? Miad. That's what we hold. As if it was if a Jew builds an idol. It's not usher. It doesn't have the shame of Ovid Kochavim until it's worshipped. But if it's an Ovid Kochavim that builds an idol, then the moment it's complete, it has the shame of Ovid Kochavim. Okay? So the Gemara says, now you have a problem. The Jew is being hired to build an Ovid Kochavim, an Avodas Kochavim for an Ovid Kochavim. So it has the din of Avodas Kochavim biyad Ovid Kochavim. Okay? And therefore, the Gemara says, When he's doing the work, he's working on Avodas Kochavim. So how can he get paid for doing work on Avodas Kochavim? It's Schar Avodas Kochavim. Okay. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a problem. It's not a problem. Why? It's not a problem. Because Avodas Kochavim man kagorim lo. When does it become an Avodas Kochavim? Gemar Malacha. It only has the identity of Avodas Kochavim when it's finished, right? The Amos havi Gemar Malacha b'makosh acharon. And when does it become? When is the Malacha finished? When the craftsman takes his hammer and gives that last tap, right? The last tap is when it's finished. Okay? Mocha shachron leis b'sheva pruta. But that last tap doesn't have the value of a sheva pruta. Okay? Alma, and that's why it's mutter. Okay? But the Gemara says that's not enough. It only works out because he holds yeshna l'schiris metchili v'yatzof. Okay, so how does it work out? So it works out like this. Rashi. Mochush Achron is the makas kornas Achron, the last tap, the makah b'patish. And that last tap has no shavu pruta. Hilkach shari. Why? The schirus shar makushos lo mitzar. All the other hacking that he was doing, right? That's not usher. Why? Because it wasn't Avodah Zarah when he was working on it. It was just the raw material, right? V'kosov Rabbi Lezer le'yeshna l'schiris mitzchili v'yadsof. But the fact that it's not Avodah Kochavim yet only matters if you hold yeshna l'schiris mitzchili v'yadsof. What does that mean? Uman ha-mekabel olav lasos b'schar lo amrinan b'gemar ha-malacha hu koneh kol ha-schiris el kol purta u-purta da'ovid kama kama koni agra. Okay, it's a fascinating question. It's a fascinating question. We hold yeshna l'schiris mitchil v'yatsof. So he's saying, so Rashi's giving you a very good description of that. What does it mean? It means to say, what does it not mean first, right? It doesn't mean, it means that when the Uman does all of his malacha, okay, Uman ha-makabal olav lasos b'schar lo amrin b'gemar ha-malacha u'kona kol ha-schiris. So he put in a lot of work, right? He put in a lot of work. So if you hold yesh ein l'schiris el l'besof, is what Rashi's first explaining, that means to say, when does he have a zechus? When do we say he earned his money? We say he earned all of the money at the very end. Okay. Then it would be a problem. Then even if it was less than a shavu pruta, it wouldn't matter. Why? Because at the end, at that last hit, it becomes a avodah zarah, right? And now all of his schar is coming with the making of it into an avodah zarah. Right, and he didn't earn anything until this last hit. So all of his earnings are hanging on that last ding, and that's simultaneously when it becomes an avodah zarah, and then it's all his schar is schar avodah zarah, right? Schar avodah kochavim. But we don't hold that way. We hold yeshno l'schiris mitchili v'atzof. So what does that mean? It means as he's working, every little bit of work that he's doing, he is entitled, he's koni agra. He's kona his wages. He's kona, in other words, where is the kinyan? Where is the kinyan, the Gemara wants to know. Where is the kinyan on the schiris? Is he kona as he's working? Bang, bang, every bang he's kona a little bit more. Or is he not kona anything until he finishes the product? Okay? So if you say, yesh ein l'schiris el l'besof, that means there's no kinyan until the very end. So when he finishes the cheftza, that's the kinyan. That's That's the halachic acquisition has been made. Halachically, he has acquired his wages. But then it would all be simultaneously with the shame of Oskov and be a problem. But we don't hold that way. We hold every ounce, every bit of work he does, he's Kona a little bit more. He's really Kona a little bit more. Okay? So now all of the hard work that he did up till now, he was Kona already. And none of that had to do with Avos Chavim, because it wasn't on Avos Chavim while he was doing all that work. So that's in a segregated bank account now, right? And then that last hit is what? That's the only thing that's called the Schar of Avos Chavim, but it's less than the Sheva Pruta. Okay? It's less than the Sheva Pruta. Notice you have a similar idea of Gemar Malacha by Kalim. So the Gemara says if the Uman decides that he wants to glaze the kli, for instance, so then it wouldn't be Mekabel Tumah until he glazes the kli. But if he says, nah, I'm just going to leave it rough, then it would be Mekabel Tumah right now. So it really goes by the Osa. But the one who's making it gets to define when the completion is. Okay.
Does that mean I want to go to the Mekabel and I don't put on an eyelash. I would put on an eyelash, but I want to get the money. Does that mean it's like makes it move
Well, if that's what the guy is happy with, right? This is really considered biyad ovikchavim. So it would have to do with when it's really considered like his, the employer. So it would have to do with when he's satisfied that you finished your job. If he says it needs one more hit, then that. But whatever it is, this is like one of those problems. Like this is one of those things like approaching infinity kind of things,
yeah.
Right? Wherever you, whatever it is. There is a certain point where the guy says, it's finished. Uh-huh. Now, if you would have done one last hit, would he have said that too? I don't know. But there is some point where it needs one last hit, and that's enough. But whatever it is, the point is, that last thing that made it finished is less than a Sheva Pruta. And all the hard work was earned before it had the shame of Oz Chavim. So you've separated out all the schar from the last hit, because yeshna the schiras mitzchivas. So as you go along, you're earning. The first, all the major earning is not schar vos chavim, and it's only the last pruta that's less than shavar pruta is schar vos chavim. Yeah.
Well,
that's just the pshat in the gemara. The Rashba is going to now say that this gemara poses a tremendous problem for our gemara. To steer at the Aragorn, but this is, we just have to get the pshat in the Gemara straight. I think that is basically the problem. Okay, so in other words, the other case where this comes up is by Kiddushin, right? If a guy, if the woman says to the man, make me a bracelet, right? Make me a necklace or something, and I'll marry you with this schar that. And I'll marry you with the what I would have paid you, right? In other words, let's say the guy's a jeweler. So the woman goes to the guy and says, look, I would have paid you $100 to make this necklace, right? I'll give you the material and I want you to make the necklace. So basically, if you don't charge me, it's like you're giving me $100, right? So there's $100 worth of hanor in making the necklace. So I'll get married with that, right? So the Gemara says it depends if you hold yesh l'schiris mitchil v'yatsof or ein l'schiris er l'vesof. As if things weren't confusing enough, right? If you hold, yeah, okay. All right, so anyway, so how does it work out by the Kedushin? So the Gemara says if you hold yesh l'schiris mitchil v'yatsof, then as he's doing the work on the jewelry, he's really building up a chov against her. Right? It's like a loan. It's like a debt that she owes him. If you really hold from yeshna l'schiris mitchili v'atzof, right, Bimak? So then as you're doing the work, you're being kona your schar. Right? So now it's like you have a debt against her. And then when you come at the end and you say, don't pay me, it's like forgiving a loan.
Okay.
Right?
How?
How? Because as he was working, he was really kone hischar. Right? So what does it mean he's kone hischar? It means that there's a halacha kinyan and she owes him money. So as he's doing work, he's building up debt. He's building up a chov against her.
Okay.
And then when he wants to marry her at the end, it's basically like he is forgiving a series of a lot of debts.
And that's
a problem. We say you can't get married with the forgiveness of a debt. Okay? But if you hold there's no schiras until the very, very end, then there never was a debt that she owed to him. And it's all one lump sum of value at the end that he could give to her, so to speak. Okay? But the point is, whether you fully understand that case or not, the point is that this is very serious. It's not like an academic. It's not like an academic thing. Like, you know, am I looking at the glass half empty? It's not like a question of how you just feel about things. Is it half empty or half full? There are real halachic. It's a serious halachic question of is there schiris mitchili v'etzof or eina ela besof. Okay, and the nafkamina is in these two cases. If you hold this mitchil v'yatzof, then there really is a chov that's building up. And at the end, all the man can say is, I'm going to forgive the chov that has been building up. And so too over here, if you hold yesh l'schir mitchil v'yatzof, then he's really, each amount of work that he's doing, he's really considered to be earning keneged that, and only keneged that. So then all of the work he does, the 99.99% of the work that he does, was not being done with Avodas Chachamim. And that last 0.01 is less than Shavah Pruta. So that's the Gemara solution. Now just so that you're not confused, this has nothing to do with what happens if a guy quits in the middle of the day. Okay, that's a separate inyan. Okay, the question of yeshna l'schiris mitchili v'adsof or eina el l'besof has nothing to do with what happens when a guy quits halfway through the job. Okay, because like Tosa says, even if you hold ein l'schiris el l'besof and the guy quits halfway, then that's the sof. There's nothing like that halachically, that a guy will do the work. I hired a guy to paint my house. He painted everything but one square patch on the wall. I'm going to say to him, you get nothing. And for whatever reason, he refuses to paint that last. He gets into a big fight with me, and he says, I'm not painting that last square inch. Does that make sense to anybody in this room that he should not get any money? Only a cold, hardened businessman would think that way. It doesn't make any sense. That's not what it means. So then it turns out now what do we do in that case is very interesting. It's very interesting what we do in those cases. But it's not true that you broke the terms of the deal and therefore you get nothing. You're not going to get full payment because you didn't finish the job. But there's nothing like that automatically you get nothing because you didn't do everything I said. That would be a very unfair system. Right? I mean, I just think you need to have some basic idea of what happens when a guy starts a job and either quits or gets fired. Right? So it's basically Shin Lam and Gimel is where it starts in Choshen Mishpat. Right? It's called Hasocher Esapoel Ubo Hapoel Lachser Kodem Shehischilo Achakein. It's aptly titled. Someone who hires a worker and the guy quits, right? Or he gets fired. It's either one. Either, and the deal is undone either before he starts or after he starts. So I'm not concerned with the before he starts. Let's do with the after he starts. So it goes like this. Hischil hapol b'malacha v'chozar bo b'chatzi yom. Guy does half a day's work and he quits, right? Vafilu kibil kvar demei chozer. He's allowed to quit. Can't force him to continue working. V'afilu kibul kvar demei schiruso v'ein biyad l'shalim l'bal bayis yochol lachzer bo v'amos chovelav. Even if you were foolish enough to pay him full before he started, and he was smart enough to spend every penny of it, he can still quit in the middle of the day. And now he has a chov to give back. In other words, it's not like the halacha that we can sort of undo half the deal because he can give me back what I gave him. Even if he can't give me back what I gave him, he'll just owe me that money. But he can always quit. Is that clear? You understand what I'm saying? Factually clear? Okay. Why? Shenemar ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim v'lo avadim l'avadim. You can't make someone a slave. Can't make someone a slave. So that's something different. But as a poel, he has the right to. He has the right, even by those things, you can't make him do anything you want. You still can't make him do whatever you want. But anyway, so this is an American law too. American law too. They have a thing, there's no slavery. You can't force a guy to do a job. You can sort of, you know, he might be responsible for the consequences of him not doing the job, but the judge will never decree, you must do this job. That can't be. Okay, so too over here. Okay. Even with a contract. The only way you can do it is with a gun to the head. But that's not legal either. So, you're not allowed to, you can't make a guy work. Now, Ketzad din ha-pol shechozer bo acha shehischil. So what do you do? Shomen lo masha asa v'notel. So you have to evaluate, what did he do when he takes that amount? Right? If he did half a day's work, and so he gets half a pay. V'im kablanu, and let's say he's not an hourly guy, right? He goes by the job. Shomin lo es she'osid lasos. You figure out what more has to be done, right? You hired a guy to paint the house, in my case. You have to figure out what's left to be done. Bain shehuzla beis shesochro bain shelohuzra, whether the price went up or not, went down or not. Bain shehuzla malacha achakach bain shelohuzla shaman lo masha osid lasos. Okay, so you have to figure out what is the cost of finishing the job. Ketzad, what's the case? Kibul mimenu komel liktzor b'shtei sloim. So you hired a guy to plow or to harvest to harvest your field for 2 sloim. Okay, who's good with ancient currency conversions? Okay, kotzer chetzio v'iniach chetzio. He did half the field. Or beged larog v'shtei sloim. You hired him to weave a beged for 2 sloim. And orag chetzio v'iniach chetzio. He wove one half and he left one half unwoven. Right? Shomen lo masha osad lasos. You have to now go and get an estimate. What will it cost to finish the job? Okay. Im hoyoshova shisha dinarim. If it would cost 6 dinarim to finish the job, that means the price went up. Okay? Because 4 dinarim is a seller. Okay? So now the price went up. Now it's going to cost him 6 to finish the job. So no saying lo shekel, which is 2 dinarim. So you give the guy 1 shekel. Because you hired him for 8 dinarim to do the whole field. He did half, right, and it's going to cost you 6. So he only gets 2.
What's going to cost you 6?
Yeah.
The other half.
Yeah.
Why would it cost not
price 4? Went up.
Oh, fine. Okay.
Right? Makes sense, right? Vim hoya nishar yofe shnei dinarim, but let's say the price went down, and now it's only going to cost you 2 dinarim to finish. He still only gets his 4, right?
Why?
Because he only did half the work of what you contracted him for, and that was the deal that you worked on. Now, so basically, you stick with the deal, but you deduct the loss against his wage, right? That's basically the way it works. Okay. B'amed Dvarim Amurim, there's a lot of B'amed Dvarim Amurim and Ketzas in these halachas. B'davar She'eino Ovod, like you were saying. That's if you have time. There's no big deal if you finish the harvest today or tomorrow, right? Oval B'davar Ha'ovod, K'gon Pishton Lahalos Me'a Mishra, O She'socher Chamor Lehevi Chalilin Lemeis, O Lekala Ki'otzi Bohen, right? So, but if it's a davar ovid, like you got the flax soaking in the pond, and if you don't pull it out in time, it's all going to waste. That's the case of davar ovid in Moed Katan, right? By Malacha and Chol HaMoed. So, or case for you, you hired the taxi to bring you to the wedding to play to be the musician at the wedding. So then, basically, it's not going to help you. To hire someone, there's no hiring somebody else. The guy, it's all going to be a loss. So then, echad pol vechad kaplan eino yochol lachzavo. Then he cannot quit. Elim keinenas kigon shechola, unless he became sick. O sheshama shemes lames, whatever, some family emergency. I'm skipping a huge amount of Ramah. Vim lo nenas v'chazar bo. And let's say the guy does. What do you mean? Tell him he can't. But let's say he does. Im ha'yer motze pol ha'macherim liskor kishesochar es elu. If there were others to hire when you first hired this guy, right? V'achshav eino motze socher aleihem. V'achshav eino motze socher oleim o maton. So then he says you can fool them. Ketzad maton omar lohem sela katzatzi lohem bo utlushtayim ad shiigmu malachto v'lo yitin lohem ela mashe posak tchila. So you can basically tell the guy, look, I hired you to pull the flax out of my pond, and I hired you for a sela. Right? And you only did half the job and now you want to quit. I'll pay you 2 slime to finish the job. I'll pay you an extra 2 slime to finish the job. And then you don't have to pay him any extra. Okay? Because he has no right to quit. He has no right to quit. So you're allowed to lie to the guy and fool him. And, okay. Vim nosan lohem shtayim machzer mehem atosefes. Okay, fine. Now he says like this. Ketzad socher leim polim v'gomer malachton shalot tovad v'chosh Yosef leilu apolim ha'achirim al masha pasuk l'rishonim notol m'rishonim. Or hire other guys really, really expensive and then deduct it from whatever they had. Right? Ad kama ad kidei scharon shal rishonim. So that's what the Ramban was saying. That's what the Ramban said. If you look at the Ramban carefully, he says that. See, that's what the Ramban says. It says, "V'kevan she'sochro osur de'ihu lo motzi laholach schar achas min le'amelch v'idach tishri le. Why? De'kule schar akol chada v'chada yoev le. Why? De'ha'ilu bo'i le'mishvak chada." The gear steer is a little bit mixed up. It should be lo motzi le'nachi le. If he couldn't just say, give me 99 I won't move one, just knock one off. V'i davar ha'ovid hu socher aleihem umatam b'kidei kulei schar. See, that's what the Ramban knows, that you can't just not pay the guy for what he did because he moved 99 barrels out of 100. There's no halacha, you can't just say, well, I'm not going to pay you anything because you only moved 99 out of 100. So the Ramban has to say that why is it all totally on that last barrel? Because if it were a davar ha'ovid case, he would have the right to hire other guys up to the full value of the schiras. And it's possible that he won't get any money.
What's the davar ha'ovid case?
Davar ha'ovid case is that this guy needs the wine for the wedding.
Oh, fine.
Right? So he can't wait. The wedding is happening in an hour. And he's going to have to hire somebody at an exorbitant rate because he's stuck to move that last barrel. And if that guy charges 99 prudas to move that last barrel, then you get nothing. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's not really true that just because the deal is 100 for 100, that if you do 99, you get bupkis. It's not true. That's not the terms. That's not the halachic terms. It's possible that could happen, based on the davar of it. But it's not so cut and dry that you just, the guy who painted my 99% of the house doesn't get nothing because he left one corner. But it is all one deal. That's the point. It is all one deal. And halachically, all the schar is tied together. And you see that from the fact that davar avad could knock you out completely. You understand? Right. And that's why the Rashba and the Ran take a little bit of a different angle. That maybe the guy wouldn't have hired you to begin with. Those, they all acknowledge, huh? It's similar, because they're acknowledging that there's no real halacha like that. That if you do 99% of a job, you get nothing. They're trying to tie it together somehow.
Well, what type of like halachic, you know, like halachic value would it have? Like, the guy wouldn't have fired you anyway. But he did, so like...
Right. That's what's hard. That's what's hard.
Like, according to the Ramban, he's giving you, you know, something concrete to tie it all together.
Right.
Here's like a theoretical...
So, because he wants to say it's like a grumma. The Ran is working like it's like a cause. Why is it a cause? Because he wouldn't have hired you for less than 100. He wouldn't have hired you for less than 100 barrels. He was looking for a full job. Right? So sort of like that 100th barrel you needed to get this job. He's trying to tie it in as like some sort of a grumma together. But let's follow up with the Rashba. Just so at least let's get his question straight. So he says like this, Uludidi Kashali, all the lumdus of the Ramban, that really it's all the schar is lumped together because you needed every barrel to get paid anything, doesn't work out for the Rashba. He says, why? Because since we hold Yeshna Schiris Mitchil Vyat Sof, Vikol Chavis Vichavis de Molech Zoche Kenegda Beputa Achas. Now that we say Yeshna Schiris Mitchil Vyat Sof, every barrel the guy moves, he really earned a Pruta Kenegda. Is it possible that Davar Avid can make him lose it? Yeah. But basically, he really is earning barrel by barrel. Lama asru schar hamotam mutaros. So why should that make the other ones asr? He says, and this is exactly the logical argument that we apply in the case of Yotes on the Beis. Now we say, why is all the schiris mutar? Because yeshno schiris mitchil yatsof. So as he was earning the bulk of the money, he was not working on avos chavim. Right? It says the kaven the yeshon is chiras mitchil v'yatzof u'mochosh achron leis b'oshavar pruta mochosh achron nami mutar. V'im kain hocha maishna. This is basically saying it's basically a stira between the two cases. Both cases you're getting hired to do one full job. That's what you're getting hired to do, right? And in both cases, 99% of what you're doing is mutar. And in both cases, the last thing is usher. So why is it that by the barrels, because the last thing is, how come by the barrels, the last piece makes everything usher, and by the Avodah Zarah case, and by the Yud Tes, the last piece doesn't have any effect on everything else. It's just a stira. So he says like this. The Yesh Lomar, he gives a very surprising answer. The Hasam Hainu Taima Mishum the Avodah Zarah Lohavi El B'Mochos Achron. So far, so good. V'Yafilu L'Man Damar Avodah Zarah Shel Nochri Asur Miyad. Still good. U'Mochos Achron Leis Bo Shavu Pruta. Somewhat murky. U'Pachos Mishavu Pruta Lo Gazru Hukach Scharo Kulo Mutter. No sense at all. Since the last hit is less than a Shavu Pruta, and there's no Knas on less than a Shavu Pruta. So now that last little bit that you earned is not usher at all. But who cares? You needed to do that last hit in order to get all the other money. Wasn't that the whole problem we were talking about? We weren't ever talking about the money literally being mixed in. If the money was literally mixed in, then just throw one out like Rabbi Eliezer. We said, no, it's not mixed in. It's a cause. So who cares if that last piece of work that you do is enough to have a chalos shem iser on. We're not worried about the iser of the pruta itself. We're worried about the work of moving the yayin nesach, bringing in the full 100 prutas. Like, he's like totally off track now. Now he's talking like the problem is when you move 100 barrels of alhacha, de'ika pruta achas asura. Now he's like very, now he's saying, no, now when you move the 100 barrels, one barrel gave you a pruta. The yayin nesach barrel earned you a pruta. And a pruta is asura because there's a gzera on a pruta. Vahi pruta bekule agra pesicha. That's an unclear statement. And all, and this one pruta is somehow kneaded into all the other prutas. Usser. So why can't, but that brings back the Ravid's problem. So why can't you just throw one away? If it's really just a problem, no, this is, here's the problem. If you're going to say the last bit of work is a cause for everything, so then it shouldn't matter how much value there is earned in that last hit. Right? Because you're not looking connected to the last hit. You're saying the last hit brings in all the money. So then who cares if the last hit is less than the Shavar Pruta? And if you're going to tell me that it's really a problem of what you're earning per se, and it's not that it brings in all the other money, so then why can't you do like Rabbi Eliezer and just throw the value of that one thing out? He's sort of trying to find like some middle ground. Like it's not totally a straight Tyroves where you can throw one away, but if there wasn't actually an entity of Isser in your Agra, then it wouldn't be a problem. Even though he wouldn't have hired you to do everything, whatever. Even though you needed to do that last hit in order to earn all your money. And not only that, and in case you think he still is making some distinction between the cases, he says, and if a guy hired you to move 100 barrels for 50 prutas, it would all be mutter. Right? And the Ron says the same exact thing.
Meaning what? What is that? Why do you bring that up?
Because he's saying it only matters if the avoda that you do that's usser earns you a shava pruta that has the shame isser in it. He's saying anything that's less than the shava pruta has no gezeira of because the whole isser of the schar is a knas. Right? The schar for the avodah is a knas. And he held the chachamim didn't make a knas in less than a shavar pruta. But now it sounds like he's really concerned. The problem is, the Rishonim like sort of focus your mind on one way of looking at it, and then just pull the carpet out from under your feet. Right? First they say, don't look at it like a mixture. Look at it like the last amount of work that you're doing, moving this barrel, is causing you to get the paycheck. Right? But then when he goes to your test, he says, no, it's not a matter of moving that last barrel. The real problem is that if you move the barrel and got a pruta, now it's like you've got one bad pruta in your 100 prutas. But if when you move that last barrel, it was only a half a pruta, you don't have any bad prutas. Right? So when they ask the question, why can't you throw one out? They say, no, because it's all caused by the isser. And when he says, why is the case in the U-test good? They're saying, no, because there's no Isser in it. Yeah, but wasn't it caused by Isser still? Aren't all those arguments still valid? The guy wouldn't have hired you for 100 barrel, for 99 barrels. He would have only hired you for 100. The Ron himself reverses. The Ron himself says, all of that schar is caused by the barrel. Not the bad pruta. No, there's two ways to look at things. You can either say, there's a bad pruta mixed into my paycheck, or you can say, all of my paycheck was totally on a bad action. But you can't have it both ways, and they are trying to have it both ways. And I will not let them have it both ways. So now we have to understand the machlokas between the Ravid and the other Rishonim, and what these Rishonim are talking about.
So,